Welcome to the Wish I'd Known Then podcast, where we focus on how authors found success, looking at strategies that have taken them to the top of the bestseller charts, as well as what they've learned from their mistakes. Because being an indie author is more than knowing the latest marketing trend. It's about being innovative and creative and learning from your mistakes.
Welcome to the Wish I'd Known Then podcast. I'm Sarah Rosette.
And I'm Jamie Albright. And this week on the show we have...
Jamie. We are going to talk to Jamie about some common issues that she sees over and over again with the people she talks with consulting.
Yeah. Yeah. There are common themes for sure when I'm talking to people. So hopefully this will help some people.
Yes. And it's things that come up again and again in groups. Mm-hmm. So I think it'll be really helpful. Basically, like, how to sort out when you need extra help and what you can fix yourself, sort of, right?
Yeah. When do you need outside eyes and when can you do it yourself? And if you can't afford it, then here are a few things to walk away, maybe actionable things you can do today.
So sounds great.
Yeah. Okay. So what's been going on with you?
Well, my husband is still in training in Denver, so I went back to see him for a couple of days, and we went up to the mountains and had 2 days in Estes Park, which I'd been to once briefly, and we went back and it was beautiful and just elk everywhere. I mean, it was amazing. They're so, I guess, used to humans. They would come into town and just hang out, and it was gorgeous, and the leaves were changing. So we did a drive through the mountains and looked at the aspens, and it was really a nice break.
Oh, that's great. How lovely.
Yeah. So a little break. And on the writing side, I've almost got the survey finished for the Kickstarter. I'm using the Crowd Control Shopify app. And I figured it. And, you know, Shopify lets you customize so many things the way you want. And Kickstarter lets you can set up your, you know, campaign any way you want. So there's so many variables. So I think I figured out the best way to do it for me. And, but yeah, I think by the time this goes out, the surveys will have gone out, and really happy with the way it's working. So that's super happy to be done with that, getting close to the end of that phase.
Yeah,
and then it will be just delivering all the physical items, because all the digital stuff will go out either with the survey or like I've already sent out the bonus books. So just kind of getting another step closer to being done with that. So that is like it for me, but not a whole lot. What about you?
Well, I'm at my daughter's. And so if you hear the alarm beeping, I mean, it's just the dryer's going. I mean, it's just chaos here.
It's real life.
It's real life. But she's having a party for the four little ones and it's a color party. And, you know, she's an event planner. So this party is, wow.
It's going to be amazing, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'll get pictures. It's just crazy. But anyway, so I'm here. I'm helping with that. And then just been thinking about this story that I want to write. And I may be about to do what I've told people not to do, like my entire career. But do as I say, not as I do. Yeah.
In what way? What do you mean?
Well, because first of all, it's still on brand because it will be funny in parts, it's off brand because, you know, it's a sad story. I mean, you know, but it's uplifting, like it will end upliftingly. but yeah, I just don't know. I mean, and I'm probably... when I initially write it, I will be going against advice, you know.
Right, but you know that.
That
right?
I love that I admire and whose advice I really value. But I have this story is written in my head and I'm going to write it on paper like I see it in my head. I made that decision this week. But I'm also going to try to do a rom-com. I worked on a rom-com before my sister really got sick. I've got about 25,000 words on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just put it aside because it was a standalone kind of thing. But I'm gonna try to write that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And which might be good for me because, you know, if one's too heavy, then mm-hmm. So that I'm putting out, you know, if I put out this book that I want to write, I also have a rom-com that I can put out.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And even though you're going against like the expectations, you have a book, it's like the book of your heart that you want to write.
Yeah.
And you know that it's not going to fit in these certain categories. So it's not like you're going into it blind, you know.
Yeah.
And you're doing it because you want to do it. And I think there's books that we all have to write like that, that maybe they're not going to earn, like if you tweaked them or did something different, they might earn more, but you want to write them the way you want the story to go. And that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you have to do that.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. Also, I am watching Invasion on Apple TV.
Oh, okay.
Oh my gosh. Have y'all watched this? It's the writing is so good. The two female actors are amazing. And it's like their characters have agency. Like their characters, they have like real purpose and are kind of the heroes of this story in a lot of ways. And there are two seasons. Well, there's a season and a half. Mm-hmm. I binged season one and then the parts of season two that, you know, till I had to catch up and then wait a week. But it's really good. If you have Apple TV, it's worth a watch. It's really good.
I don't think I've heard anybody talk about that.
I know. But it's really good.
So I will look for it. Mm-hmm. I will have to get Apple TV again because I turned it off after Ted Lasso was over.
Me too. So anyway, it's good. Well, that's all I have on that. I mean, you know, just my normal insanity, chaos.
Yeah.
You know, that's stuff.
Yeah. Me too. Like all this travel makes it hard to be in a consistent routine and stuff. So.
Well, and then one thing, you know, I am so much better. And have been like, okay, I think I'm ready to write. And then, Tuesday was my sister's birthday and then Sunday is the anniversary of when she died. Yeah. So it's kind of like, I'm ready. Oh no, I'm not. No, I'm not. So
yeah. Cause all that brings back a lot of the thoughts and emotions and you can't just go on without kind of marking those days somehow,
So, and I'm going to stay with my mom for a couple of days just because my dad is, he's out of town for a couple of days and I just don't want her to be by herself. And so I'm going to stay with her for a couple of days and then I'll go home. But I mean, it's like just when you think, okay, I'm good. Maybe I'm not as good as I thought, but it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah. So, well, you like thinking about these books and talking about what you're going to write, you sound like you're more, interested in writing and ready to get back to it. So I think that's a good thing. And you know, those books, it's not like you have to, like, this is the thing we've learned, like the gold rush is over and it's not like you have to get these books out right now. Mm-mm. You want to take your time and make sure they're the best they can be and then release them whenever you're ready. It's not like we're on a timeline.
Right.
I mean, we put ourselves on a timeline, but as far as the market goes, it's not like we're going to have an advantage the sooner we get them out because it's the flood.
And, you know, I mean, I said this, you know, when she was sick and after she passed away, that I don't regret any words that I didn't write while I was there. And if I'm honest, I don't really regret any words I haven't written this past year because I needed that time. And I mean, while it's still stressful, you know, I mean, there are a lot, you know, there are things in my mind has played some tricks on me about my validity in this business, but really and truly, if I step back and look at it objectively, I don't regret this.
Yeah.
You know, it was what was best for me. It was what was best for my family. And really and truly, that's what matters. Mm-hmm. This business is good, but and writing books for our readers who are important to us is good, but nothing trumps family for me personally. So
right. And it's that perspective. Like that's what we often forget to keep everything in perspective.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah. And not just family, but you know, my mental and emotional health, you know, that's paramount. Because if I'm not good, then nobody else around me is good. Because I have a strong personality.
No.
I know. But we should get on with everything. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we do have a new supporter this week. We've got Bonnie Hardy.
Bonnie.
Yeah, we know Bonnie. She's great. And she used the little book stack emoji. Mm-hmm. And we're just so thankful for everyone who is supporting the podcast and has been for a while. It really helps us want to continue to do this. And it shows us that you're interested in the podcast going on. So we like that. And thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks so much.
Yeah. And if you want to become a supporter, you can go to wishidknownforwriters.com/support and sign up there. And we will be having a supporter chat coming up. I believe it's October 15th, right?
It is. Yes.
Yes. Okay. So we will put a post in the group about with the link and please let us know, y'all, what you want to talk about.
Yeah.
Do you want to have a guest? Do you have specific questions you'd like to talk to us about? Please let us know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We would love that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's get into talking about the, just these common issues that Jamie sees over and over again. So let's start first. And do you want to describe kind of what you do with authors? Yeah.
Yeah. So what I don't do what people would think conventional coaching is. It's more consulting. It's a one or two time call. And we discuss issues that are really pressing for the author. I offer a 1-hour call and then they have access to me. You know, if they have, you know, follow-up questions or a lot of times we'll discuss things, you know, next steps, and they'll do those next steps and send them to me and let me look at them and stuff. And then there's a follow-up call that's included with that if they need it. But that's on the author to get back with me on. You know, if they don't feel like they need it, then that's fine. If they want it 6 months later, that's fine too. You know, so.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's all what right. I do. We just talk through those issues that are really pressing on them, making them feel stuck, making them feel overwhelmed, maybe, you know, any of those things.
Mm-hmm. So kind or of a sounding board.
Yeah. And me being an objective set of eyes to come in and say, okay, this is what I see. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, some authors just need to know, is it time to take the next step? You know, is it time to level up and go a little harder on either books or ads or whatever. So, and it's, you know, as I've said before, I know a thing or two about a thing or two. So, just because I don't rapid release and I don't do, you know, do things like that doesn't mean I don't know about it. And I understand the, you know, concepts that I don't generally employ sometimes, but,
And we've talked to so many people on the podcast, and you know so many authors and are connected with so many people. You kind of have a really good feeling of how the industry is going and what's working and what's not and what's hot and what's new and all that. So definitely someone who can speak to different authors. It's not like you are just talking to one type of author.
Right. And if I don't know something, I'll go ask the person that I know that knows that. And I'm real clear with that about that with people, you know, I'm like, oh, let me check with so-and-so and then I'll get back with, you know, or whatever.
Yeah. Well, so I guess the next question is like, who can you help?
Well, you know, my ego would say anyone.
And you could probably provide help for pretty much anyone on like these different topics.
Yeah.
But there are probably people that are more specialized that you could help, right?
Right, right. I think for me personally, it's either the newer author who has no books to one book out, or the author that's been doing it a while and isn't really seeing any financial advancement, you know, mm-hmm. or they did and then they got stuck and now they don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. Those are probably the people I can help the most. The problem is those people really aren't making a lot of money or any.
Right.
So that's why I'm really conscious of keeping my rates, personally, my rates affordable, mm-hmm. because I want people to be able to do it. And sometimes people reach out and ask me, you know, how much it is and and what I offer. And they're like, I can't do that right now. But mm-hmm. a couple of months later, they come back and say, hey, I can do it now, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, certainly I understand that, you know, as the woman who sold plasma to pay for edits, you know, having to hustle and do things, you know, on the side to make extra money to be able to afford, you know, services that I thought were necessary. I get it. So I'm not offended. You know, if people reach out and just say, no, I can't do that, or that's out of my price range, I am not offended at all. So mm-hmm. I get it. I totally get it. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a lot of things that you have to cover, especially when you're first starting out, you know, like your cover and your editing and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that you have to juggle and figure out what's going to be best. And it might be best to talk to you first. Other times it might be best to try some things and then come to you later. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it just depends.
And if I say, if someone, usually when people reach out to me, they reach out to me with like a few of the questions or a little background, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I think, hey, it's not time to talk to me yet, I'm happy to tell people that, you know.
Yeah.
Come back in 6 months or come back in a year when you're finished with this book. Mm-hmm. And then also I happily refer them to David Goggins' free course, to podcasts mm-hmm. and stuff like that, so mm-hmm. they can get some knowledge free and not feel so, I guess, overwhelmed. Overwhelm is a big thing. And,
right.
You know, people, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's great. And there are a lot of really good free resources and podcasts. And yeah, sometimes you can probably start with the free things and then come back, right, later.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what do you wish you'd known about consulting when you started? A favorite question.
I think I wish I had known how precious some things are to authors, you know. Oh. I guess because I was willing to, you know, from the beginning of my writing career, because I knew I didn't know anything when I went to that first critique group meeting, mm-hmm. I was willing to do or change whatever I needed to make this work. Mm-hmm. But there are people that are a bit precious about things. Most mm-hmm. people are like, oh, no, I'll do it. But there are those people that are kind of precious. And, you know, it's just hard for them to hear a few things. And mm-hmm. I hadn't counted on that. And I think because of that, maybe I should have, you know, maybe changed my approach in the beginning. You got to change that cover. You know, it's like, let's talk about your cover, you know.
Yeah.
And have you, you know, putting things back on them to go research
right.
so that they can come to the conclusion that maybe their blurb, their cover, the fact that they're not editing or whatever is not best practice. So,
right. Yeah.
And I try to do that now, you know, but in the beginning, I might not have.
Yeah. And I was going to say this, you are honest. Like I'll have questions and say, hey, what do you think about this? And you give an honest opinion. You're not going to beat around the bush or try and be nice and say, oh, this will probably work when in your heart you think it won't. You will couch it in nicer language than that. Than like, oh, this is terrible. You won't say that. But you do, you don't pull punches. You're going to be honest.
Well, I mean, they're paying me not to. That's
I know.
That's really how I look at it. But, you know, in the beginning, I didn't really realize that. I think that I've come to the conclusion that you really have to kind of, well, first of all, you can lead a horse to water, as the old saying goes. Mm-hmm. You can't make them drink. But you really need to lead as well as tell. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, help them come to that conclusion, you know, and stuff. And so, mm-hmm.
yeah,
but most people, I mean, like I said, the majority of people, they're like, whatever you know, let's try it or whatever. Mm-hmm. But there are just people that are precious. And it's not just about covers and blurbs. It's about kind of everything.
Everything. You know,
they probably because they spent so much time trying to, you know, come up with a brand or whatever, a title or whatever. And they, you know, it was a lot of work. And you know, and honestly, covers are the last things. I mean, unless it's a really bad cover, they're the last things I say try, because that costs you money.
It's expensive,
you
know? Yeah.
So,
and what is that? It's called like the sunk cost fallacy, I think, where you've invested money and time. I've heard that, and I was like, that's such an interesting term. Like, you've invested money and time, and you don't want to change things because you're like, oh, well, then I will have wasted all of that money and time. Whereas it might be better to go ahead and change things. Mm-hmm. And even though you've lost money or time, you can make more profit later, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's emotional capital too, because you've just invested so much of your emotion into writing the book and, you know, this plan that so many of us have, and this goal of writing full time and being, you know, I get a lot of pushback on that too, because, and maybe it's hypocritical of me, but I will tell people, maybe you shouldn't think about being a full-time author, not because you can't be, but because it's hard. Like, if you have a job you like, or don't, you know, really don't have a huge aversion to that, or you can do something that you would like and write, you should probably do that, just because it's good for your mental health. I didn't do that. But as we've discussed before, and we discussed it in the last week, I'm now unemployable. So
that is a problem.
I have painted myself in a corner. But if there are other people, you know, I mean, there's a lot of pressure we put on ourselves for that. Doesn't need to be there. Really, that should not even be in the equation, in my opinion. You know.
Well, and a lot of us, it's a dream, because we feel like, and it's unrealistic, because we have this image that, oh, I will write all day, because when you're working 40 hours a week or whatever, or taking care of your kids and working a part-time job and trying to write, it seems like, oh, if I didn't have this one thing, this job or whatever, it'd be so much easier.
Yeah.
And I mean, I thought that too, with like my kids were little, I was like, oh, once they get older, it'll be so much easier. And it is easier in a way. But the things just change, you know, like you don't have to take care of them, give them their bath at night, and make sure they do their homework. But you're doing other things, like going on field trips or going on college visits and things. It's like things don't really, like, we're unrealistic. It's that perspective thing. We think it's going to be so much better. And in reality, it won't be. So I think that's wise to maybe make sure people really think things through, you know, before they make that leap.
Full time, and I made a big post about it, of course, and in Alessandra Torre's group. And her advice to me was, however many hours you work at your job, you know, if you have an 8-hour job, you're not working that whole time. You know what I mean?
Right.
I was working a part time job. Then devote that much time to your writing, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was like, 4 hours a day, 5 hours a day, no problem.
Yeah, we all think that, yeah.
That was not the case, y'all.
I know.
It's just things like that.
Yeah, it's true. And like writing is, I feel like it's like people say it's a muscle, like you get used to it. And if you're used to concentrating and like being super focused and getting so many X number of words in 30 minutes or an hour, and then you suddenly have 4 or 5 hours, you're not going to have that same focus unless you can create those same parameters in your mind, you know?
Yeah, so
there's a whole bunch of mental stuff going on that you have to work through. So yeah, there's some things to think about with going full time or quitting your job. So all good points.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, let's get back to our questions. What do most people come to you, or why do most people come to you?
I think just they don't know what the next step is, you know,
mm-hmm.
really, I think I can help with next steps better than anything, you know, because
and that's really important.
Yeah. While you can't see it in your own career in life, it's easy to see it with other people. You know,
right.
I mean, to me, it is, I can just see it. And because of my high communication and stuff, I am able to communicate that to other people. So, that's mostly why people come to
me. And
they don't know what the next step is.
Right. And you were talking about overwhelm earlier, and like, there's so many things to do. And so if you have somebody coming along saying, okay, don't worry about this right now, just focus on, you know, finishing the book or getting your edits complete, that can be very helpful, because then you're not trying to do like seven things at once and not doing any of them very well, you know?
No, that's so true.
All right. Well,
No, I was just going to say that's true, because you know, I do get a lot, you know, the emails I get when we've set up a call, you know, I ask them to send me the things they want to talk about. And they're these long emails and they're just everything. And I get it. You can't see the forest for the trees. So a lot of times we'll say, okay, let's put these things on hold. And these are the things we're going to work on, you know, and let me know how that goes. And then we can, you know, kind of.
Yeah. And it's valuable to talk to another author about that, because, you know, like my family, they love me, but they're really, they don't really care, you know, like the detailed specifics. So another author is going to be a better person to talk to you about that than your spouse. Well, when is a good time for someone to seek services from someone like you, from outside help?
Not me personally, but just outside help. I think it's when you're kind of frozen. You don't know what to do next, you know, or when you're kind of doing, you're doing the same things you've always done and they're not really working anymore. They did work at one time. Now they're not working. Those are good times. And in the beginning, so you don't like get off on the wrong foot, but that's harder, you know, that's harder.
Okay. Well, I think that's those points are good points. And we all sometimes just need to talk with somebody else and figure out like the best thing to do. And those are like your decision points. So that's good. You listed out some of the most common issues that people bring up. Do you just want to run through those and we can talk about each one? How do you want to do it?
Yeah, we'll just run through. So the most common issues I get are the first, number one by far is how can I make more money? I mean, that's just, that is the biggest pain point for a lot of people. And unfortunately, I can't guarantee you're going to make more money, though a lot of people do make more money after they speak with me because they have a plan. The problem is a lot of people just don't have a plan. Christina Hovland, she wouldn't mind me saying this. Because she's told me this. I mean, we actually did a longer thing because she had a release coming up. So we did things up to the release, but you know, things turned around dramatically for her after we talked about ad copy and we talked about release strategy and stuff like that. And so, you know, that's great. But I think that the money thing is the biggest thing. That's what people just want. They want to make more money. And I get it. I do too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like bottom line for most of us. We write because we love it. But most indie authors aren't doing it as a hobby. We want to make it profitable. Yeah. So yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. The second reason is just overwhelm, you know, anything from the basic publishing info to when do I start a store, you know, and that's just, we've talked about that. I mean, that is just so hard because we are bombarded with information daily, you know, online, on podcast, on YouTube, you know, I mean, just things. Oh, this is the next big thing. And you don't want to be left out. You don't want to be, but it may not be time for you to do that right now. And guess what? There'll be another next big thing that you may be ready to do.
So how do you help people figure this out? Is it like on a case by case basis?
It's on a case by case because because it depends on where they're at in their publishing journey. Like, you know, I'm, if someone comes to me and says, you know, I haven't, I've put one book out, or I haven't put a book out yet, but I'm going to put out two after the first of the year. How do I go about setting up a store? I'm like, is a store really what you need to do right now? Like, let's back up a little bit and look at why you would have a store, and then what you need to do between right now and when you put those books out to make sure those books have the best chance to do well. And I'm not sure a store is that thing. If it is, then we can talk about that, but let's talk about that. And then, depending on where they are, we take things off their plate that really don't need to be there right now. We just move them to the side. We can come back to them, or they can come back to them. But, you know, taking things off people's plates is a huge burden lifter, because they can't see it clearly enough to know what needs to stay and what needs to go.
Yeah. And a lot of us do need to just
move a couple
of things. Yeah. And then talking it through with someone can help you decide what the best ones are to remove or put on hold or whatever, however you want to call it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's correct. The next one is like series. Well, these are just topics. It doesn't mean that, you know, it's not like in number, the first two, those are the biggest things. But then people also like want help with series creation, or should I take the series I have and make another series? And we just talked through that. Like, what are the best ways to do that? How can we take what you have right now and expand it so that you have like a series within a series? You're creating a world, those sorts of things. Those have been some common questions that have come to me. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's always, I love that, creating different ways for people to find you. It's like, if you have a plan and you're like, okay, we're going to write this series and then we're going to connect it to this other one, people will, you can increase your read through from one series to another or do ways to pull people into a new series that I didn't even think about when I was first starting out. So that's
right. Multiple entry points into your catalog, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And then with that comes the, do I need a pen name? You know, so we talk about that, you know, we go through that. And if you do need a pen name, what's the best way to do a pen name? Do you need two mailing lists? You know,
so many questions on that, because there is a lot of work with like creating a whole nother profile for yourself everywhere. So that's not something to be taken lightly.
No, not at all. And then another big one is newsletter building. Like, how do we build it? How do I build a newsletter? How do I get a newsletter before, you know, you talk about building a newsletter before you release. What's the best way to do that? How do I get signups from the back of the book, you know, those sorts of things. And we just go through different things. And really, what's your strength? Like, what are you best at? If you can crank out a story really fast, then create something that you can build a newsletter with before you launch. If that's not really your strength or what you can do, then just do you know, deleted scenes or second mm-hmm. epilogues in the back of the book, and mm-hmm. making sure your back matter then in the back of your book pulls people through to your newsletter and your next book. Mm-hmm. Those are big things that you want to make sure we're doing, because if not, we're losing people.
And you can you brainstorm with people for things like this, because like we've talked about, there's all kinds of different things you can do. You don't have to write a short story mm-hmm. or a novella or something, because mm-hmm. like you could do like recipes or mm-hmm. a map of your town.
Right.
You know, there's all kinds of things that don't involve maybe new words, but just mm-hmm. different types of content. So I'm sure you guys have come up with some cool and interesting things.
We have. And like I was talking to someone and we were talking about her newsletter, and she's like, I just don't know what to say. And I always feel like I'm being really silly, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was like, then get your PA to write a little thing in the newsletter about your books that are on sale or that mm-hmm. they should read, or they have you read this one, you know, get somebody else to do it, or do it under somebody mm-hmm. else's name, you know?
Yeah. I mean, or create like a character that will speak for you or your books. Like maybe if you wrote cozies, you could have like the nosy old lady who writes a newsletter about things that are going on in the world. And mm-hmm. like she has maybe just a little section in the newsletter, but it would give you a place to start.
Right.
You know,
right.
Something that is not about you. Mm-hmm. It would help take the spotlight off of you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we just brainstorm about that. That's what I love most about these mm-hmm. sessions and it's what I love most about writing in general. Mm-hmm. You know, for me personally, I love brainstorming. I love that whole concept of, you know, people just sitting around throwing out ideas, and some are really bad. And, you know, I've thrown out some really bad ideas, but then somebody takes just a sliver of that bad idea and makes something amazing with their idea. And mm-hmm. I love that. I love that whole process. Y'all, someone's vacuuming now.
Okay. Well, I'm getting a message that my internet is unstable.
Yeah.
I can't hear a thing. So I guess it's fine.
Okay. But and then the next thing is like evaluating their Amazon sales page.
Okay.
So that includes everything from the cover, the blurb, the look inside, their A+ content if they have it. Advising them to put A+ content on, even though I have no idea how much that works, but it seems to be very common, you know, mm-hmm. now. And so, you know, you should probably have your sales page look like other people's sales page.
Right. It's one of those things that probably can't hurt.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. So, but yeah, and the thing is that like, I'm not great at blurbs. I have people help me with my blurbs, but mm-hmm. I do think you can create a blurb with a couple of people, you know, and mm-hmm. So I'm just a voice, but also like coming up with taglines for the books and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty good at that.
You are excellent at that.
Well, thank
excellent.
You. Thank you. But the big thing is that you just want something that's going to, because they do all look the same. You need something that's going to grab your reader and not let go of, like make them ask a question like,
mm-hmm.
why is she running from a hot rock star, you know? Mm-hmm. And then that, you know, that's really good. And a lot of times you can take that kind of tagline and use it with your ads and stuff that we can mm-hmm. talk about later.
I was going to ask, what are the most common mistakes that you see on Amazon sales pages?
Very long blurbs.
Okay.
Very long blurbs. People putting like any awards or even USA Today or any of that at the top of your blog, that is valuable real estate. And nobody cares if you've won an award. They don't really care if you're USA Today bestseller in that that doesn't tell them if this book is going to be.
It doesn't tell them anything about the book.
No,
it doesn't
tell them anything. And that real estate is super valuable. So that real estate should be all about the book, the like either the trope or the hook. Really, mm-hmm. in my opinion, it should be the hook of the book. Ooh. it should be the hook. And because you want people to not be able to scroll away from your page without clicking. And so that's super important.
And there are other places you can put awards and all that stuff. There are places on your page, like the editorial mm-hmm. or from the publisher. You can put stuff like that in there to kind of build authority. But you want people to be curious about the book before they go down and see the other stuff.
Yeah, because a lot of times people don't even read the whole blurb. They don't even.
You can't even see a lot of it. Usually you can only see the first couple of lines.
They just, and you know, if you make that tagline or that hook bolded, then that draws the eye, you know? Mm-hmm. And then the look inside, they don't end on a hook. You know, they just, and you want to, even if it means it's less than 10%, you want to end on some kind of hook. Because you want people to continue
to know more. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then of course, covers are always, or not always, covers are an issue. And right now covers are all over the place.
You know, they are.
Mine are all over the place. So, you know,
well, things are changing. Like I feel like there's
in flux. And so it's kind of hard to know, but if you have an obviously not on brand cover, then there's an issue. I mean, there's just a disconnect again, and we're going to talk about branding, did we talk about branding? No, I guess we skipped over branding, but branding, as I've said before, is the promise you make to your reader. So does that cover meet the promise? I mean, does that cover tell the reader what they need to know about what's inside that book? And if it doesn't, then we got to fix that. Does your blurb do that? You know, does your A+ content do that? I mean, if it doesn't, those are the things that have to be fixed, because if you want people to click on your book and you want to build interest and excitement, because a confused reader is a reader that just clicks away. There are too many books. There are just too many books. So,
And now we have so many books that it's like, if you really only want to read, like, say, hockey romance, you could do that. Mm-hmm. And if your book is close to that, but not quite, or if your book is that and you don't make it clear, people are going to be like, oh, I'm going to go get this other one that I know is a hockey romance.
Right.
You know, like if your blurb is all about something else, or emphasizes something else, then you're probably not going to get that reader who, like, I know there's, like, I don't have just one specific thing I read, but I do know, oh, I want to read, you know, a country house mystery set in England, or I want to read a book about travel set on an ocean liner or something, you know, and we can search for that now. There are plenty of books now where we can find exactly what we want. So we need to make sure it's very clear what our book is and what interest, or, you know, I don't know what you call it, like what your reader wants. It's very clear.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought you were about to say you were looking for hockey romance and
you're like, oh, I got some recommendations for you.
Yeah.
I was like, well, instead of using Cozy Mystery, which I use all the time.
We just don't want the reader to be confused. I would say another mistake people make, or not mistake, but where they put energy where they don't need it, is like their website. I mean, I think you need a website. I believe you need a website, but you don't need to. I mean, it can be pretty basic. Like, it just needs your name, a place to sign up for your email. Preferably you're giving away something free, and that needs to be at the top. And then, you know, your books, like in mm-hmm. a link to whatever retailer you want to send them to. That's really it. And what, and then the mistake I see people make is putting this big about me thing at the top of the page. I mean, I did it. We all did it. At the top of the page, instead of that link where they can sign up for your email, mm-hmm. The about me can be on a separate page. It can be at the bottom of the first page, but it does mm-hmm. not need to be in that valuable real estate at the top of the page. Mm-hmm. So, I think you just don't need to spend a lot of mental energy on our website, especially in the beginning.
And I think that's hard to remember when, especially if you're using a template and designing stuff yourself, because mm-hmm, they mm-hmm. put in so many options mm-hmm. that you have all these things that you could do. And really, you probably need to strip that down and just mm-hmm. use some really basic things. You don't have to have all the bells and whistles on your author website, especially in the beginning. And I think the main thing people go to author websites for is mm-hmm. to find a list of books and to find them in order mm-hmm. and to mm-hmm. find out when the new book is coming out. Right. Yeah. And to maybe sign up for more information. Mm-hmm. So those are like the main things. Yeah.
Yeah. A contact link so that when they love your book, they can contact you. Yeah. Or if they want to make your book into a Netflix series, they have somebody.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, we kind of laugh about that, but that's really true. That like if people want like translations, if they want to do translations, mm-hmm. if you only have your books on Amazon and you don't have a way for people to contact you, like if you don't have a website, how are they going to get in touch with you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it is necessary. It's just not necessary to put all this energy into it, especially when we have limited time and the books and the presentation of the books to the reader are really, in my opinion, the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Another thing people want help with is launch help, which mm-hmm. Since I haven't launched a book in 2 years, I'm sure people are like, what do you know? I almost cussed.
But there are certain principles about launching that stay the same, right? Launching.
Yes, yes. And again, I'm not so egotistical that I wouldn't find out, you know, but there mm-hmm. are just things that are good practices when launching mm-hmm. and just having a plan. Any plan is better than just throwing it up unless it's a later book in the series mm-hmm. or you're not going to start pushing that book until you get more books out. I get that. I understand that. But honestly, even if I were wide, I cannot see a world where I wouldn't make as big a deal as possible about a launched book, a mm-hmm. new book. I mean, I just can't.
Yeah.
Because, well, I guess because for me, not releasing as often as people, most people, you know, I need that book to make a splash. I want that book to. Flash. I don't even need it. I want that. So, yeah, I mean, if you're wide, it's a little bit different. I get that. But I still feel like, you know, we want our people to know if nothing else, we make a big deal in our newsletter. If nothing else, we try to get that book in front of as many like-minded readers as ours as we can. Yeah.
Yeah. Because how many times have I sent out, you know, a newsletter and get a reply back from people saying, oh, I'm so looking forward to the next book and blah, blah, blah series. And I'm like, oh, well, that's been out, you know, and here's the link. And so obviously, you know, you can't reach everybody with all the news, but you do want to make it a splash, like you're saying. And for a later book in the series, maybe it's not as big a splash like a first book, especially in like mystery. There's certain certain types of series that people are going to start with book one. And if they haven't read, you know, four, mm-hmm. five, and six, they're not going to care about seven, but mm-hmm. you still want to make it so that your readers who are looking forward to that know about it. Right. You definitely want that word out.
Right. And, you know, I mean, I have had people come to me, and this is something, you know, if you're really wanting to, if you're wanting to level up, you know, they have a really successful series and they have a spinoff series or they have whatever. They want to know, or they have a series that's done well, but they think they can do better with this new series that ties in or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they want to know a budget. What's a budget? What's a good budget mm-hmm. for launch? What do you, and, you know, I can help with that. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I listen to enough. I know enough to know that, and most people who have their, you know, finger on the pulse of this business is in your genre will know that. So it's mm-hmm. not like just me, but mm-hmm. asking other people mm-hmm. about that, because you really do want to know what's realistic, you know,
right?
And especially, so you can keep your, you know, because when I launch, I have three goals. One is just your basic goal. Like I just want it to, you know, do the basic stuff, like right. as far as rank and money. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. I have what's realistic, you know, what is based on the money I've spent and the time I've spent and my email list and the amount of publicity I've done, what is realistic? Mm-hmm. And like my last book, I hit that 100%, you know, knowing I had a little less money to deal with and it was the second book in a series, hadn't really pushed it as hard as I did the first one, mm-hmm. you know, what was realistic. And I hit that. But mm-hmm. then there's the, oh my gosh,
the dream,
way more than I expected.
Yeah.
Goal. And I've hit that a few times. So, you know, having those three things set in front of you, and I have it written down so that I don't forget it,
yeah.
because it is easy to get lost when you're launching in, like what's a reasonable, realistic goal.
Mm-hmm.
And then what is above that goal? Anything above mm-hmm. that goal is gravy. So mm-hmm. you know, just keeping that in mind helps.
And that's probably really smart for your mental health too. It's like,
it is.
Because you know, okay, yeah. this is, I've achieved step one. And if we can get to step two, the middle part, that's great. If we go to three, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And just bonus. And then yeah. you're not always striving for something that maybe you can't reach, because correct. It's really, it would keep your goals realistic.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. As you can tell, I have never launched this way. I just do very, very basic launches.
Yeah, yeah.
So yes, I think I should probably do a consulting for my next launch.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think you do okay. Let's just
it does all right. Yeah.
It does all right. It's
building on all my other books. I rely heavily on my newsletter, you know.
Yeah.
I don't do many ads.
Yeah.
So but you do ad copy help too, right?
I do ad copy help. You know, ads change so much. Mm-hmm. That I really have sort of, I mean, like the basic stuff I can tell and help people with, but I am not an ads expert. I mean, I've been able to run them and do very well with them, but I would not feel right. You know, if somebody was just coming to me for ads help, I would tell them they need to go find somebody else, because mm-hmm. that is not where my expertise lies, but I can help them write ad copy that will, hook the reader, that will make them curious.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been, I love that. Like it's mm-hmm. been super fulfilling to hear people or see somebody's ads that are doing well mm-hmm. afterwards. And you're like, yep, that hook was great. Mm-hmm. That was the one you needed. And so, or images or things like that. And, mm-hmm. and some people, probably myself included, hate testing ads. So they put something up. And while I don't like it, I know how important it is. So, you know, just talking to them about that and helping them to kind of understand that, you know, testing is really important. You mm-hmm. you know, you will lose a lot of money if you do not do that. So,
right.
But mostly it's ad copy that I can help people with.
Yeah. And that's so hard to do, because usually we're so close to the book
mm-hmm.
that it's hard to pull out
mm-hmm.
the tiny little mm-hmm. catchy phrases that yeah. will pull people in. Sometimes it's so helpful to have somebody else just even just throw out some ideas, like you were talking yeah. about earlier, just brainstorming yeah. some different
brainstorming ideas. Yeah.
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 So,
and then, Blurb Help is the last one. And we talked about it a little bit on the sales page, but one thing, right, blurbs are changing, you know, they're just changing, and especially in romance, they're changing. Mm-hmm. They're not.
What are you seeing? Because, you know, romance always leads the way with everything.
Yeah. They're shorter. They're usually from one only, you know, the character that has the most growth or the most to lose, it's usually from their point of view, not both points of view.
Oh, so they're not doing like her point and then his point.
Correct.
Like that's how they used to be, right?
Yeah. And then also, like a lot of them, you don't even know their names. You just know he's a this and she's a that. And, you know, because readers don't care. They care
until
about
they're into the book, right?
They care about the hook. They want to know, is this book going to push the button, you know, push the buttons for me? Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to tell them in our blurbs. Mm-hmm. Not even the story. We just need them to know that this book is going to check all their boxes for a book that they're going to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. And I'd wondered about the dual POV blurbs, because that was how I could always tell it was a romance. Like if there was books that I was like, oh, this might be, has some mystery in it. I might like it. And then I'd be like, oh, it's got two POVs in the blurb, probably more romance than mystery. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting that that's changing.
It's changing. Now it's not changing. Like I think KU authors are employing this a little more right now. Mm-hmm. But I see it everywhere too. Just encouraging readers to, you know, do some research. Look at that top 50 in your genre, in your subcategory, in your categories. You know, I mean, look and see what they're doing and do that, but with your own flair and your own twist. So that's really what I do. And I think that that's what a lot of other people do. And they just give a fresh set of eyes to something that they're not emotionally tied to.
Right. And that's huge, because we've invested time and it is difficult to step back and be objective. So
yeah,
I think that's very important.
Yeah.
Well, where can people get in touch with you?
Well, they can go to my website, jamiealbright.com, and there's a button for author services, or it's jamiealbright.com/author services. And
okay, cool.
You can reach out to me there. I'm not opposed, you know, like just to answer a few basic questions, but, you know, at no charge. if you think you need something longer or bigger, we can set that up or we can talk about it. And again, I give a discount to podcast listeners, and we can have, you know, we've talked about Erin Wright. She does consulting for authors who are going wide. There are other services, Becca Mysore, the plot fairy. She does consulting. Yeah. Yeah. And coaching. So, you know, look back at our other episodes, because I might not be the right person for you there, but we have a lot of other guests who offer similar services. Claire Taylor, she does, you know.
Yeah. And if you feel like somebody else would be more helpful to someone, you'll refer them on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, Jamie knows everyone, basically. So she can put you in touch with whoever you need. Yeah. All right. Well, I think this has been really good. I think it'll be really helpful, because we talked about things that people can look for themselves first and check. Mm-hmm. And then if they need extra help, they can get in touch with you. And I think it'll be really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you. And this has been fun. And I hope you all have a great day and a great week.
Yeah. And we'll have those links in the show notes, and those will be at wishidknownforwriters.com. And you can find the link to Jamie's author services there. And thanks to Alexa Larberg for editing and producing the podcast, and to Adriel Wiggins for helping us with all the admin. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Wish I'd Known Then podcast.
We hope this episode inspired you, empowered you, and made you laugh a little bit too. If you loved it, tell your friends about it. And if you feel so inclined, leave us a review. We look forward to being with you again next week.